From London, BBC Caribbean Report.
The EU goes to the United Nations to get Caribbean states and others to abolish the death penalty. Can regional airline Liat avoid cutting jobs? The shareholders must decide. And the role of the opposition in the Caribbean in changing times. I'm Ken Richards and this is BBC Caribbean Report. If the European Union has its way at the United Nations, Caribbean states intent on maintaining the death penalty could find themselves at odds with the EU. Regional governments who maintain their sovereign right to implement capital punishment are closely studying what the EU draft resolution being put forward at the UN means. They are involved in the discussions on the matter, but so far prefer to say very little publicly. As Electra Naismith reports, other countries are not so diplomatic and are accusing the Europeans of tremendous cultural insensitivity.
The EU is running into fierce opposition on the issue of the death penalty after its draft resolution at the UN called on all states to suspend capital punishment. Singapore has accused the Europeans of trying to use coercion over persuasion in its efforts to gain support for its resolution. The resolution calls on countries that maintain the death penalty to progressively restrict the number of offences for which it may be imposed. It also once established a moratorium on executions, with a view to completely abolishing capital punishment. Caribbean diplomats in Washington have acknowledged that they're paying close attention to the issue. They add, however, that they're involved in a process of negotiation related to that matter and won't comment publicly on its implications. One of those implications is the concern expressed by Singapore that the European Union will not use aid as a weapon in the debate over the death penalty. EU countries abolish that particular form of punishment as inhumane. They argue that the abolition contributes to the enhancement of human dignity and the progressive development of human rights.
Electra Naismith. A major conference of officials from the United States, Latin America and the Caribbean has opened in Washington to discuss ways of cooperating to fight the illegal drugs trade. President Clinton's chief advisor on the issue, Barry McCaffrey, said that the USA is now less interested in blaming the drug-producing countries and more concerned with participating in a joint effort to combat both the trafficking and the consumption of drugs. Officials attending the meeting are seeking to replace the current policy of the United States, which penalizes countries failing to act against drug production. The head of the Brazilian Anti-Drugs Office says his country will propose the creation of an international body to coordinate the activities of the different drug enforcement agencies. Caribbean and African manufacturers are to benefit from expanded access to the U.S. market after the Senate approved a new trade bill. The measure removes tariffs and quotas on imports of clothing into the United States. The bill received the strong backing of President Clinton, Orrin Gordon reports.
In the end, it was an easy victory for the president, 76-4 and 19 against. Given the fact it was a Republican-controlled Congress and they haven't always had good relations, is being interpreted as a notable success for Mr. Clinton. St. Lucia's Prime Minister Kenny Anthony said in Washington that the bill's predecessor, the Caribbean Basin Initiative, hasn't worked.
I mean, it was much touted, it was heralded, but the reality is that Caribbean manufacturers really did not achieve very much. I mean, most of the benefits went to Central American countries. The present bill does have some scope.
So what will the bill do for Caribbean manufacturers?
In respect of the apparel industry, already there is a resurgence of investment in that sector. So I think that if we can be offered a far more level playing field, particularly to market apparel in the United States, that would be a plus. There is recognition in the region that investment in the apparel sector has tremendous benefits, particularly in respect of employment.
U.S. lawmakers have been criticized for their reluctance to see beyond their constituencies. The bill's sponsor, the Republican William Roth, said it should dispel that notion. What they have done, though, is to carefully craft it so it grants duty-free status only to clothing made from U.S. imported thread or fabric. But the U.S. Trade Representative, Charlene Barshefsky, said it sends the message that the U.S. is a reliable advocate of growth and development in Africa and the Caribbean.
Orrin Gordon. Caribbean employees of the regional airline Liat plan to present their own answer to the airline's financial woes when Liat shareholders meet tomorrow in St. Lucia. The rescue plan is an apparent alternative to the Speedwing report, which recommends drastic downsizing of Liat. Pete Ninval reports.
The confidential rescue plan LIAT workers hope to present at tomorrow's meeting here was developed with the help of trade unions throughout the region that represent the workers. As to whether the workers' plan agrees with the Speedwing report that recommends massive downsizing in all aspects of LIAT's operations is a closely guarded secret. But LIAT shop steward in St. Lucia, Jossie Mesmin, did comment on whether Speedwing's proposed job cuts at LIAT's Antigua headquarters could create problems for an eventual solution to the airline's problems.
In St. Lucia, for example, I don't know if they'll be able to cut any more staff in St. Lucia because we are running basically on skeleton staff in St. Lucia. But we have to look things on the whole yard network and not only one particular island. But if there is to be job cuts, they have to decide where they're going to do it and how they're going to do it. I think Antigua will be the most affected.
Mr. Mesmin has worked 16 years with LIAT. The Speedwing report to which he was referring calls for the laying off of 20% of LIAT staff. It also indicates that several routes should no longer be operated direct, including Anguilla, St. Croix, and Grenada to Port of Spain. St. Lucia's Civil Aviation Minister, Philip J. Pierre, has not ruled out a final solution to LIAT's problems, adopting some aspects of the Speedwing report.
I think from since the report was written, things have changed. The situation is not static. It's a very dynamic situation. It's moving all the time. So I think that report, there are some things in that report which will have to be considered. But I believe, like, at the time, the debt was not 5 million. Now the debt is 5 million. So things have changed. So the report cannot be taken in isolation.
Mr. Pierre described tomorrow's meeting here of LIAT shareholder governments as an SOS mission, but he was confident that it would come up with a solution everyone could live with. That, of course, depends on how shareholders can lessen inevitable job losses while addressing concerns about profitability, effective management, and creating a competitive airline. This is Pete Ninval in Castries, St. Lucia for BBC Caribbean Report.
You're listening to BBC Caribbean Report. Developments out of Kingstown, St. Vincent make a strong case for revisiting the issue of the role of the opposition in the Caribbean. There's growing friction within the ranks of the opposition Unity Labour Party over the policy of boycotting government functions. Spokesman for Foreign and Legal Affairs Stanley John has been dropped from the shadow cabinet of the ULP, and Deputy Leader Ken Boy is not hiding the fact that he favours Mr. John's approach of working with the government in the interest of his constituency despite the ULP's stamp of disapproval. Mr. Boy thinks it is time that the matter is afforded appropriate attention in St. Vincent and the rest of the Caribbean.
The essential thing here is the opposition's role solely to oppose the government. You see, I'm a recent person in politics, and we have so much to do in the country. We are so far behind in certain aspects of our development. To say that you are not going to help to create jobs, for instance, until you get into power, it means that could take another 4 years before you start. And then when you get into power, it takes you 4 or 5 years to find your feet. So we're talking another 7 or 8 years before we start reacting. And with the pace of development today, you cannot afford that. And there needs to be a debate about how could opposition parties play a role in development and still justify the two-party system.
Ken Boye, so what's the role of the opposition party operating in the individual Caribbean nation? That's a question I put to Dr. Trevor Monroe, reader in government and politics at the Mona campus of the University of the West Indies.
Between those two extremes of confrontation and coalition, there are many varying degrees. And the debate would have to center on what is appropriate given the particular conditions of each country at a given time. In general, I would suggest that competition for office is an important element of the Westminster model, but that competition needs increasingly to take place within the framework of developing consensus, not only amongst the political parties, but with civil society and with the population at large in a number of critical areas for national development.
specifically the opposing the government strategy, whether or not the individual constituency suffers. That's being challenged in the St. Vincent scenario. Are people like Ken Bowie and Stanley John on track or being traitors to their party?
Once again, the question is one of balance. The political parties at the end of the 20th century need to balance the need for diversity and pluralism in views and positions in the leadership against the need for a certain marching in step, marching in line, so that whether they are traitors or not depends on the particular conditions. But I would certainly suggest that the old Caribbean party model, inherited from the anti-colonial struggle and the immediate post-independence days, where the party leadership is almost monolithic. What the leader says, everybody needs to say. What the leader does, everybody needs to do. That model is no longer sustainable in societies where there is so much talent, so much diversity, so much pluralism, which even in a single political party needs to provide latitude for different approaches and different styles.
Should it be party policy to boycott the government or work with it?
Again, it depends on what the government is doing. If the government is in a mode of national development, of placing the public interest ahead of partisan concerns, then certainly I think the tendency should be to balance competition for office with collaboration in the public interest. If, on the other hand, the governing party is intent on placing its own partisan interest ahead of the public interest, then naturally it would be the duty of the opposition to veer more towards the end of boycott, of lack of cooperation, in order to get the government to its senses.
Dr. Trevor Monroe, in Trinidad and Tobago, accusations have been made against a government minister for allegedly influencing police charges against two senior trade union leaders. The country's director of public prosecutions says he was not responsible for instructing the police to lay the charges. Tony Fraser reports on an incident that is attracting quite a bit of national attention.
I know it was by his whom, and he have gotten the police to trump up charges. I know that the charges are all trumped up. We are not very concerned about those charges because they are not true.
General Secretary of the Communications Workers Union, Lyle Townsend, making the allegations against Public Utilities Minister Ganga Singh. 3 weeks ago, Mr. Townsend led three dozen employees of the partly state-owned telecommunications company of Trinidad and Tobago in a picket protest outside the home of the minister. At 1 a.m. on Monday of this week, the two senior union leaders were arrested by the police on a warrant. But whatever the merits of the charges, there has been a howl of protest against the manner of the arrests. And all of the major trade union leaders have charged that it's a case of political interference and an attempt to intimidate workers. Only last evening, the Director of Public Prosecutions, Mark Mohammed, released a statement saying that procedures were broken in issuing the warrants for the arrests. Moreover, the DPP says there was no need for a warrant on such simple charges. He also has serious reservations about the police making the arrest at 1 in the morning, and he has called for the file from the Assistant Commissioner of Crime. Mr. Mohammed says the instructions came from one of his assistants. Today, the assistant DPP involved told BBC Caribbean Report that she broke no procedures. She said the police came to her for advice. She gave it, and it was up to the officers to determine whether to lay charges and how and when the arrests were to be made. The assistant DPP told Caribbean Report, however, that she was today transferred from her regular office. Police sources would only say to Caribbean Report that they received a complaint from Minister Ganga and acted on it. However, one senior officer said instructions were also received from the Commissioner of Police. When I called the office of Minister Ganga, his secretary said he had a meeting at the office of the Prime Minister. Criticism of the manner of the arrest has also come from the president of the Law Association, other senior attorneys, and the leader of the opposition. Tony Fraser in Port of Spain for BBC Caribbean Report.
In Bonn, Germany, ministers have ended climate change talks with a pledge to reach a deal within a year on how to reduce damaging greenhouse gas emissions which cause global warming. But environmental groups are accusing leading developed countries of undermining the talks. Organizers of the United Nations are satisfied with commitments by the UK and Germany to reduce emissions by more than the projected UN level. But little more was achieved in Bonn, apart from agreement on the need to intensify negotiations and reach a deal on how emissions should be measured. Low-lying countries like those in the Caribbean, which stand to suffer most from global warming, say they are disappointed with the lack of progress. And our top story is the EU goes to the UN to get Caribbean states and others to abolish the death penalty. And can regional airline Liant avoid job cutting? The shareholders will decide in St. Lucia tomorrow. That's it for this edition of BBC Caribbean Report. Join us at 11.05, 11.15 and 12.10 GMT for our next morning programs. I'm Ken Richards, saying goodbye from London.